Today we continue our investigation into the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum robbery, the largest unsolved art heist in history. In the latest episode of the WBUR Boston Globe podcast, Last Scene, we're looking at a con man with a possible connection to the heist.
First, he's this sort of like aristocrat who's a famous writer, and then he's none of those things. And then not only is he none of those things, he's a crook. And not only is he a crook, he's a monster.
Well, joining to discuss that con man and more is senior producer and reporter for Last Scene, Kelly Horan. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Bob.
So who's this man we're talking about here? We just heard a kind of amazing description in that soundbite. Who is he?
Yeah, he summed him up. So the man we just heard from is named Ben Pollack. He is a filmmaker out in Hollywood who knew this man that we're about to talk about. But this is a con man who has a con that goes back 40 years to Glens Falls, New York, when he rolled into town in a chauffeur-driven Bentley, posing as someone named Paul Sterling Vanderbilt. He came to town, paid his bills at the faded but elegant Queensbury Hotel in cash, tipped big, and started asking a lot of questions about a local museum called the Hyde Collection, which itself had been inspired by the Gardner Museum in Boston. And the then director, Fred Fisher, met him there, and this is how he described him.
Even though he dressed well, he spoke well, he's a good-looking guy, the so-called Mr. Vanderbilt giving himself away a little bit too much.
So, Kelly, he was not a Vanderbilt? What was his real name? What was he up to?
Okay, so Paul Sterling Vanderbilt was the alias for a 20-year-old college dropout from Swampscott, Massachusetts, named Brian Michael McDevitt. It turns out that at the time that he rolled into Glens Falls, New York, in the spring of 1980, he was wanted here in Boston for having robbed safe deposit boxes of about $100,000. And that's how he financed his Glens Falls scheme. He had that money, he got the car, and presented himself as a very posh character indeed.
So what's McDevitt's connection then to the Gardner Museum?
Okay, well, this is where it gets quite interesting. The Gardner Museum itself was the inspiration for the Hyde Collection in New York. In 1980, Brian Michael McDevitt, with an accomplice, attempted to rob the Hyde Collection. A decade later, when Fred Fisher awoke to the news that the Gardner Museum here in Boston had been robbed, he felt that he knew who must have done it.
It was so clearly a similar incident, you know, timed around a holiday, disguised as somebody else, duct tape. The similarities were just very much there.
So what about the authorities here? Did they bring him in? Did they question him? What do they think?
Well, we know that Brian Michael McDevitt's fingerprints were among the first set to be sent to the FBI headquarters after the heist. We know that sometime in 1992, McDevitt was brought before a grand jury. And we know that he claimed to a friend shortly after that grand jury that he had slipped out of the country and was living abroad to wait out the extradition period on the heist.
Do we know where the fingerprints came from? Did they come from inside the Gardner, or were they sent because they were part of a file from something else?
Well, they had his fingerprints because of the Glens Falls arrest. So he was arrested for the attempted heist in 1980. So his fingerprints were on file. Now, there were no fingerprints found inside the Gardner Museum. So that was inconclusive.
So what else do we know about the suspect, Mr. McDevitt?
Well, we know that he was living in Beacon Hill at the time of the robbery. We know that on March 15th, 1990, 3 days before the heist, he called his then-girlfriend and said, "I'm going to be out of town. You won't be hearing from me for the next few days." We spoke with her. She actually gave me a copy of her diary from the time. We don't know where Brian Michael McDevitt went that weekend. He told her he was going to the Writers Guild Awards ceremony in New York. He couldn't have been because they were held in April.
All right, so where is Brian McDevitt now?
Well, he was reportedly last seen in Medellin, Colombia, where he died in 2004 with pneumonia, AIDS-related pneumonia. It's worth noting that several of the people that I interviewed in this story, including a former FBI agent who pursued Brian McDevitt, don't believe he's really dead.
Huh. So he's reportedly dead, but
But I should say, when I brought all of this to the Gardner Museum's director of security, Anthony Amore, he said, look, I've seen the man's hospital bills from that Columbia hospital. I've seen his Colombian death certificate. He is dead. But I just throw it out there that those who knew him, who were swindled by him and harassed by him, think he might still be out there.
All right. Kelly Horn, thanks a lot. A lot more on this in the next episode of Last Scene.
Correct. Thank you.
Kelly Horan is senior producer and reporter of Last Scene. Next week on WBUR's Morning Edition, we follow the Last Scene team as they chase down a lead 9 feet below ground in Orlando, Florida. You can download the first 8 episodes of Last Scene on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. To listen on our website or for instructions on how to download a podcast, visit WBUR.org/Last Scene.
Funding for Last Scene is provided by ADT. ADT 24/7 monitoring, designed and installed for you. For more information, visit ADT.com. And by Samuel Adams, Sam Adams Boston Lager, brewed with 100% heirloom hops. SamuelAdams.com, Boston Beer Company, Boston, Mass. Savor responsibly.